Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, it's my lovely wife, my co-host, my best friend, Melissa Nickerson, ladies and gentlemen. We're here to talk about Little League today. So Melissa wore her baseball uniform.
It was a complete accident. It was. No.
You sure about that? You sure about that?
Yes, I'm sure about that.
With us, of course, is Andy. Andy did not change his outfit because he's a producer, and we cut to Andy Cam once or twice an episode.
That's nice.
Whenever Andy wants to cut to Andy Cam.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. This is coming out on Thursday, April 24th.
Okay.
What you don't know is that we've already recorded next week's episode in our timeline. Here in our timeline, I feel like we're in the MCU right now. We're explaining, but in my timeline... this is our second episode today.
Yep.
We like to give that warning up top. We can get a little loopy.
Yep.
Mel often shuts down.
Well,
it's not uncommon for Mel to just kind of get over the podcast mid-episode. For any of if you guys ever get bored of our podcast, just know Mel agrees.
I, too, have turned off the episode.
While recording mid-episode. Mel has just kind of mentally gone to a place where she's done. So we got
I'm
a lot
here,
to...
I'm here, but I'm not here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a lot to get to today. We're going to talk about Little League. We're in our sports...
Yep, we're going to do
it. We're in a bit of a little mini sports era right now. Send us some emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. I want to hear a youth sports story. Your experience with youth sports, what you loved about them, the pros, the cons, the different sports that you played. There's a lot of comedians out there, and a lot of us have participated in a lot of different sports over the years. We're our next week, we're talking track and field with Brad Upton. And then this week, we're talking Little League specifically because I played as much Little League as you can in baseball growing up. And then we both raised a kid in Little League. We've been immersed in Little League. So, but I want to, let's get into it. Track and field, swimming, basketball. Give us the topics and the sports you want to hear us talk about and share your stories on them at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com as well as the Dustin Nickerson Comedy Fans. We had a couple details I want to get to you. I want to share some dates, talk about Patreon. Before I do you remember the fight you started in the middle of your sleep last night?
Yes.
You do. Well, what is your, what is your retelling of it?
So, yes, as I was falling asleep, you came in and I said, like, oh, I thought it was the kids. I thought one of the kids was in the bedroom.
Okay.
And then I didn't hear your reply.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, weird. And then I couldn't fall asleep, but I was almost asleep. That's why I, like, jumped up and said something.
Yeah.
And then at one point, one of us got up, went to the bathroom, and I came back. You came back, I came back, and then I said, hey.
Yeah.
And then, according to me, you didn't respond. And I was like, hey, I said hey.
Yeah. You didn't say hello back?
Yeah. And
3 a.m, he goes, you didn't say hello back?
Because in my head, it was the second time you hadn't acknowledged my sentence. And then you're like, I did. And I was like, well, I didn't hear it. And
and then you just rolled over angrily.
So,
you're
anyways,
getting, you're getting very used to not having me in the bed. Dare I say, preferring not having me in the bed?
Well, I used to sleep with our littlest when you were gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then she got like full size.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, she was like slapping me in the night and stuff. And but now I just love having my own bed. I'm addicted to having a queen bed to myself. Yeah, it's the best.
I think the longer you're married, the more you're open to the idea of different beds.
Yeah, I also think sometimes I fall asleep better if you're in the living room.
Oh, interesting.
And if I can fall asleep and then you come in and I don't
Yeah.
It doesn't wake me up.
Just because I'm not moving around or whatever?
Yeah, sometimes it's harder for me to fall asleep when you're in the bed.
It's great. Well, that'll help me sleep. knowing that I'm a burden to you.
It's more about my sleep changing than your presence.
Yeah.
You know? So I might kick you out like Claire.
I mean, to me when you meet someone in their 40s who sleeps well, you're like, what are you, a sociopath?
I know.
How do you just turn it all off?
I think I'm talking to a lot of friends with senior kids in high school, and they're like, we're not sleeping.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. It's a huge life transition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and the funny thing is, you think like, well, once they pick the college, then I'll sleep. But then all my friends are like, no, because then you're just thinking of the next thing.
Yeah.
Like the move-in and the financial aid and the packing list and the checklist. And
I mean, how about in the fall when it's a Friday night and you're like, I wonder what they're doing.
Yeah, are they safe?
And you're looking at their location, but you don't know what that location means anymore because it's not your little neighborhood.
They're not at In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
You're like, are they at a place that's named Greek letters? That's not good.
Well, and like some parents, you'll be like, okay, well, they don't have a car, so now I feel safe. And you're like, but do you? Like,
yeah.
The bus, Uber, friends, randos.
Yeah.
Whose car are they in?
Girls.
God forbid.
Boys.
God forbid.
Yeah.
Planes,
that makes sense.
Trains, automobiles.
Well, that's why we are going to get a little reflective, I think, in today's episode.
A little bit of nostalgia.
The good old days when we talk about Little League. Before we do, we're going to do a weekend recap. Also, leave us reviews, please, wherever you may listen to our podcast. On Spotify, you can't leave words on Spotify. They don't allow that. Just stars.
Comments?
Yeah.
They're not officially reviews, but it is a conversation we see.
Great. Like this one right here from Worlds Apart 3. That's funny. Always a fun listen. 5-star. Great show. I was going to expand on that, but I'm way too far under my head with life right now.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a callback. Everybody knows Mel's in under her head. It's my favorite Frey song. So there you go. Leave some stuff there.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Bit of a weekend recap for me. So I was in Lexington and Indianapolis. So I flew in. I flew into Indianapolis on Wednesday night to do Bob and Tom Radio on Thursday. Got some hot clips in the pipe right here. In the pipe. Smoke them up. It's some hot clips coming from that. I did that, and then I drove to Lexington. Bob and Tom's always great. It's fun to get to do. I mean, it's a gigantic radio show. It's been an iconic comedy radio show for years. And it's an indie, and they asked me. It's nice because they looked at my schedule, and they're like, could you come here for this? It's this drive. It's nice. It's nice to be wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I went and I did that.
You did 2 hours.
I did 2 hours. It's a long show. The full thing's on YouTube. They just highlight your clips, though, so it's like 15 minutes of me.
Okay.
Which is funny. yeah, it's a lot of city. You know, there's a lot of commercials in radio.
Yeah, when you know,
it all down. I did 11 minutes of material.
Oh, man.
And when I was in Indy, I went to Amberson Coffee. I love this place. I think it's like Amberson Coffee and Grocers. What do they call it?
Oh, right.
Yeah, we pulled this one up. When I was at the Indy Helium, this is the one that I posted of my pour over.
On a plate.
On a little plate. And they give you a little cookie cup. And a little cup. And I go back on my borderline pretentious coffee snob stuff. And Melissa responded, this is in no way borderline.
Yes.
This is 100% pretentious.
Because I'm at a volleyball tournament.
Yes. Choking down hotel coffee.
$5 at the tournament for the worst coffee ever created.
Not only is the snack bar not doing it for you, the coffee bar. They're probably just throwing Keurigs in there, right?
This is 22 quarts.
Yeah.
So they have They've got drip. And
yeah. Do you ever, I mean, listen, you ever have a friend and then you realize that they use Keurig coffee and you're like, we're done. I just lose, I lose respect for people when they're like, gosh, I love my morning coffee. And they're like,
Keurig and then, yeah, and then, a full, like a large Keurig.
And then
and
a coffee
then
mate?
Creamer. Yeah. 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 That's a different kind of coffee.
Yeah, there's people who don't recycle, then there's people who use Keurig.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
Ooh.
Really?
Ooh.
You don't like coffee and?
Yeah. But in some ways,
the
environment.
Yeah. In some ways, I admire the simplicity of their life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you can drink a cup of Keurig and be like, man, this is a good experience for me,
mm-hmm.
I'm really happy for you.
No, Nespresso isn't that much better. It's still a pod.
Oh, yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
It's just their version of it.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. but I envy the simple coffee drinker. I'm just like, I know too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is what comedians, we talk about cruise ship acts, where you're like, man, if you're happy doing that, then great. I'm not talking about Nate Land at Sea, by the way. That's going to be great. But because cruise ships are hard for comics, the comedy can be less than rewarding. It's a grind out there. But mm-hmm. if you love that life, if you love that and you love the travel and cruises, then you get the best life imaginable as a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a good fit for you.
It's a good fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I got to go find Amberson Coffee in you know, whatever city I'm in.
Indy.
Well, I also went to Manchester Coffee Company in Lexington, and that was also very good. Lexington's a college town, so they got options.
Now, when you have to be at the tournament at 7:15 and park across the street for $20, you don't build in a buffer to go to a high-end coffee shop.
You don't. You don't. Well, one of the primary differences between me and you, though, is you will choke down a bad cup just to get moving, and I will not.
Yeah.
I will wait for the high-quality cup
of coffee. I did a hotel cup, which then I got to the tournament, and I was just like, it wasn't strong enough because I was just lagging.
Yeah.
And then I tried to have tournament coffee, which was like gas station coffee.
I mean, at a certain point, you have to just switch to soda.
I know.
Because Coke Zero tastes the same all day long.
Yeah.
There's no bad, low-quality Coke Zero.
This tournament had a strict no food or drink.
So sticky. Yeah. Can't be spilling those sodas in there. Oh, wait, okay. Maybe you couldn't bring coffee in either.
You could buy stuff from them.
Oh, right. But that's what I'm saying. Did it ever hit your mind to go buy a Coke at 7 a.m.?
I mean, it might.
Yeah.
I might become the morning Coke person. I did. Merit Coffee had given you this pour-over thing.
Yeah.
That you can do with hot water.
Right.
Into a cup. But I still, I had to get two girls who don't want to get up to a volleyball tournament.
And you don't quite know hotels the way I do. You don't know how to sniff out where the hot water
spout.
There's one around. There's always one around.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the food area sometimes. Or sometimes there's one in the gym, oddly, because they have the cold thing and then the hot spout next to it.
Yeah.
Oh, you just call to the desk. You'd be like, can I get some hot water? Do you have any? So
I brought it.
There's tea stations sometimes, and they got the hot one. No,
yeah,
I know.
I
think if there's a coffee company out there listening, you guys need to send us a little of the good instant samples, because there's a lot of that now.
But again, we have some, but Mel couldn't find the hot water. Because the hot water is still the barrier there.
Well, true. You got to think, if I got the girls up at 6:40.
Yeah.
And I was trying to leave by 7. It's a time issue, too.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is, was trying to get the girls to eat at the buffet before the tournament. And they don't appreciate it
because
they're teenagers.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know. It's impossible.
You know what the solution is, Mel?
Yeah.
Travel with the kettle.
Yeah.
Just take get a smaller one.
That's true.
Hot water in the room.
Because I'm driving there.
Sink, kettle, boom. If you're in a hotel a day or two, and now you got, because there is good instant coffee and little pour-over
situation that you can do.
Because
I am team momming and chaperoning
for
a 4-day tournament.
So much sports in our lives right now.
Kettle.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so much comedy coming up, everybody. I got to promote some dates here. What's the date in our life right now? Today's April 22nd. I'm going to say this real quick. The older you get, the less familiar you are with the date. Like, down, like, you remember when you're a kid and you're like, what? When you're a kid, you're like, what date is it? And then you're a young adult and you're like, what month is it? Now you're a grown up, you're like, what year is it? I don't know the year so often. Do you?
We were 4 months in.
I
know, but you're just not writing that many checks.
Maybe that's part of it. We don't write the date as often as we used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I was sitting down doing taxes and accounting some stuff, and I was like, 25 as a year?
Without,
it's like disorienting. Like,
without looking, what's the year, date, month right now and day of the week? Go.
It's Tuesday. It's April 2025. It's the 21st.
22nd. Close.
Okay.
I know, but I would look it up.
I think it has a lot to do with your profession.
Okay. Yeah. When I have to sign W-9s and stuff, I'll put down 2022 sometimes.
I know. It does take me a while, but by April, I'm locked in.
You're like,
I guess it's because I've been doing 2024 taxes for 4 months.
Yeah. It was exciting when you were a kid to get to change the date all of a sudden. You're like, ooh, we're to the third month.
You're
the
like,
year.
Whoa.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
99.
We're living in the future.
Can you? I remember switching over to 00. Huge.
That was big.
It's the first time we did it because we, as kids, we've been writing 90s our whole life.
Yep.
Maybe I don't think I ever wrote an 89. I guess I went to school in 89 for a couple months. My kindergarten year.
90s kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just 90, 91, 92, all the way. Whoa.
Thresh. Okay. You got some dates?
I got some dates. This week or next weekend, I don't know what time is. May 2nd and 3rd.
Proving your point.
May 2nd and 3rd. I'm in Eugene, Oregon at the Olson Run Comedy Club. And then I'm in Brea the 16th through 18th. June, we've got Vegas, Cleveland, Cincy, Providence, Rhode Island, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Eau Claire, I messed it up again. July, Mobile, New Orleans, San Antonio, Pottstown, Richmond, Greenville. We went way
August.
For this.
Okay,
that one wasn't my fault. August, Madison, Charlotte, Stamford, Connecticut, Murray, Kentucky for the fall, Kansas City, Seattle, October 25th, Nashville. That just went on sale. November 14th through 16th, I'm going to be back at Zany's Comedy Clubs. We did the Ryman play there. We're going to go back for my headlining weekend. So Nashville is on sale. November 14th through 16th, San Diego, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Brooklyn, New Brunswick, Addison, Houston. A couple more coming on sale soon. Boston is on sale soon. I don't know.
All right. It's great.
It's all happening, guys. Life is, you know, yesterday was Easter Sunday. Sunday was Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Travel day. I flew back on Easter. I was like, gosh, I can't believe I got first class upgrades on both mine. Oh, that's right. I'm traveling on
Easter morning. Yeah.
Airport to myself.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a travel hack. Travel on Easter.
Travel on the holiday.
Yeah.
People, that's a big one. People do recommend that hack a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
vibes will be low.
Vibes will be low.
But lines will be
vibes will be low, but the class will be first. So this is the first time we've done this. You were coming back from a tournament. I was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
We have really kind of phased out of eating, of dining out with our children.
Sure. I mean, we have done it.
Yeah.
We ordered a pickup.
Well, let's speak a little bit while we're, do you have any desire to go out and dine with our children right now?
No.
It comes in stages.
I would go with my son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something about our current family of five that when all five of us are together, it's very combustible.
Yeah.
But if you remove any one of us, mom, dad, Claire, Joel, or Gloria, it gets kind of peaceful all of a sudden.
Yeah, and we thought it was the nature of the dining experience. Like, oh, we just need to go to a place where it takes like 5 minutes to get the food.
Uh-huh.
But that wasn't the case.
No.
So I think there's something about getting all of us in one vehicle that we start fighting and then it's not enjoyable.
Something about our combination of all of us. It just doesn't.
And then if it takes 40 minutes. Yeah. Like, everyone's kind of losing it by the time the food comes.
I think it's a mix of, three-fifths of the family has ADHD. That's a chunk of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't love how much it costs. Neither you and I are foodies.
No, the value of a meal out has always been lost on me.
Right.
Yeah.
Never been your thing.
I feel like a real Debbie Downer.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You are going like, if this is almost $200.
Yeah.
One meal.
The last time we went out to sushi together, you said during the meal, we're never going to do this again.
I thought that was 2 times ago. I had an epic line, like, I will never eat sushi out again. But then I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I did say that one.
Yeah.
I did say, like, because if the teens order 2 plates, you're like, all right, so we're at $40 each.
Yeah.
Before drinks.
Yeah.
Or desserts, because someone's birthday. Yeah. And you're just like,
you can feed you can feed a family of 5 In-N-Out for the cost of 2 California rolls.
Yes.
Facts.
Yeah.
Yep.
100%.
It's like a pizza and In-N-Out are the, in Costco.
Costco.
If it's Costco pizza.
Yeah.
I still defer, like, we'll go to order pizza and I'm like, that was $85. Because it's like, too large, like, to feed my family is 6.
Yeah.
We're at like a medium, a large, and a salad. And that comes to like 70 something dollars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can still do In-N-Out. If we don't do like sodas, like, because our kids don't drink soda, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get out of there for like about $38.
Well, we always have an old pack of A&W root beer in the shed somehow because of some party where there's just leftover soda, because we don't drink soda very often either, but it's there, and they're like, can we get a bev? You're like, you can at home. There's root beer in the shed.
Yeah, it is an adage. We've got chili in the van.
That's the new one. We got a new one. We got a root beer in the shed. So, if you want to go out to the shed, there's root beer in the shed.
The girls did this to me in Irvine.
Yeah.
They were like, can we get Starbucks? You know, after we'd had the elaborate morning breakfast buffet that one of my kids would not get up for.
Yeah.
And, you know, she refused.
You're like, and, hey, dad stayed at a lot of hotels to earn this status. The M Club is not for free. Dad stays in 100 Marriotts a year, so you can go to the M Club at your dumb little tournament.
Get up and eat breakfast.
Do you understand the cost that dad paid for you to have M Club access?
It's a huge deal.
You know, 90% of this hotel is looking into the M Club going, gosh, what would it take to get in there? 100 nights without your dad. That's what it would cost. That's what it would cost.
You'll get out of bed before 10 a.m.
It's Easter Sunday.
To enjoy it.
Jesus rose from the dead today. Get out of bed.
So you know what she did?
Keith Greenline.
I thought of that.
Yeah.
I totally.
You remember that?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We're deep into Christendom right now.
Yeah.
If we're doing Keith Green stuff.
So I'm like, okay, I can't get this kid up. She's going to miss the breakfast. And I'm trying to do that, like, well, then you're not eating, but I'm also a parent and I have like a 2-hour drive home. Like,
yeah.
There's no way I'm going to.
Who's that benefit?
Yeah.
You want to have a hungry 15-year-old in your car? That's not for anybody.
And to her credit, she got up at like 11:45 and ate the cold Chipotle from the hotel fridge. Never has she done that before. Never will she do that again.
Yeah.
But she got up and had a cold Chipotle breakfast. But they wanted to get Starbucks after, you know, packing up, we're leaving.
Yeah.
And I'm like, guys, there's Starry's, you know, the Sprites.
Yeah.
In the M Club Lounge.
There's root beers in the shed.
So they did another one. There's Starry's in the club lounge. Like they.
That's they great. There's Starry's in the club.
They started a new one because they're like, Mom won't let us get Starbucks.
There's Starry's in the club lounge.
Yeah.
Dad stays 100 nights a year in Marriott's, so you can get that Starry in the club lounge.
Happy Easter.
It doesn't taste as good when you just go and take it from the lounge. It tastes better when you get it. For whatever reason, and they're not wrong about that. It's like a beer at the bar. You're like, gosh, it does taste a little better somehow.
Why does it taste better?
But I don't know. Like, cracking a cold one out of a fridge that you know you don't have to pay for it.
No,
that's an all inclusive. Is like, this is.
Yeah.
I just think the first drink of like a pint of beer. It like when you're out and you're like, duh.
Yeah.
It just.
Oh, after you've flown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about while you've flown?
Yeah.
Mel's like, you got any of those drink coupons?
This is the, we have food at home.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
there's High Life's in the fridge.
Exactly. But you're like, but it doesn't feel the same.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. Like, do you want to get an espresso machine? You're like, no, I kind of like getting coffee out. That's part of it for me, but it would be in this economy. Sorry, hack bit.
Yeah.
So this all goes full circle here. So because you're traveling and we're coming home, it's Easter, it's the family, it's a family day. We're like, you're not going to be home to cook anything. And you don't cook on holidays now anyways, for the best. Yeah. I prefer it that way. And we're not going to go out to some Easter brunch thing.
No, we're not.
So I was like, let's just Uber Eats ramen. That's what we did on my birthday. And it was unbelievable. We all loved it. And then we were like, let's save the Uber Eats and you and I'll go pick it up. And you're like, do you want to order in advance? I was like, no, I don't, actually. Because you know where you can order in and out, or when you can order to go at the bar. So we went and had an adult beverage as we waited for our in and out. And it was the best Easter dinner ever.
Now, when you say in and out, is that carry out?
Carry out. Dine out. Take out. Yeah.
It is a hack if you have older kids.
Yeah.
You can leave them to go get the food.
Yeah. Mom, dad are going to go, quote, get the food.
Ooh, that's a good one.
They're none the wiser.
Another eating out hack I've learned with pizza places is call while you're on your way to the pizza place to order your pizza. Mm. But that's like a 40-minute wait. Once you get there and order it, pizza takes forever.
Pizza does take a long time.
You can expedite that downtime where they're fighting call it in. You arrive, your pizza's already ready.
Great.
And then you can get your drinks.
Smart. Or just give your kids phones.
Clearly that doesn't work. I actually have a small bone to pick with the people who asked for the to-go trays in the hotel breakfast areas.
Oh, to take to their room. Oh.
And then they have 5 trays, and it's $9.58.
I mean, I've taken food in the room for our kids before.
$9.58, 5 trays.
Oh, yeah.
And they are hogging the buffet. You're not going to eat all that.
There's no more coming.
You're throwing all that away.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need all that food.
Leave some potatoes for the rest of us.
No, there's a bowl of strawberries and blueberries.
Oh, it's the fruit. Yeah, the quality fruit.
And they've got like 4 Tupperwares.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Now you're left with the cantaloupe. There's always cantaloupe and 3 gross grapes left.
They take like 8 yogurts. You're on a vacation. You're not eating those. No one's eating a yogurt. Like,
this smells hottest take.
You're like,
someone figured out hacking room service. He's like, no.
No, yeah.
You're just like, get out of my way. I've got 1 minute, and I'm going to eat it here like a civilized person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have gotten a tray for my daughter, but on principle, I didn't.
I made her eat the cold Chipotle on principle.
She wouldn't get up. So
yeah,
I
love
that.
This energy.
They take way more than they'll ever use.
Uh huh.
It's like some scarcity thing.
And now you don't get strawberries.
Yeah.
Are you mad?
Save it for the people who are there.
Are you mad that you're not getting it, or are you just mad in principle that they're doing it?
I think
they're
just wasting food.
Well, I mean, they're gonna throw it away back there anyways. It's getting thrown away either way.
I don't think it is.
That fruit's not going to be there tomorrow. You think they're rolling out the blueberries the next day?
You haven't been to this breakfast lounge. I bet at least the employees get it.
Well,
like
that's probably
I
true.
Mean,
yogurt is going to make it the next day. You're right.
Yeah. No, this is a huge bowl. If you're on vacation in Orange County, are you going to eat 5 cartons of strawberries?
Well, they might be taking them to the park. You know,
that's true.
It might be. Can you bring food into Disneyland?
You gotta have something to wash down the Ozempic.
That's a good point, Melissa. That's a good point. It's Orange County. All they're eating is fruit.
You can't eat that much.
Yeah.
they were tiny rooms too.
Yeah. Oh, now Mel's not happy about the room I provided.
Who's upstairs in this room?
Got you two rooms for four people. Everyone in my family had their own bed, and Mel's upset that they're tiny rooms. No, unbelievable. 100 nights a year I stay at these things. Give you M-Club access.
There's no way that that mom has six children in that one room.
Yeah, I would have fact-checked this. Like, it's like the people who get the kids' meals at Chipotle.
Uh-huh.
And then get, like, all the meat on the side.
Yeah.
And you're like, just order a bowl. Like, you save 50 cents.
This?
And like, made the employee compromise, yeah, like, on all of their standards.
Yeah.
And you held up the line.
I need the public's take on this. Everyone, someone on the Facebook group right now, go and put up a poll, put up some engagement. Do you agree with Melissa's take on the breakfast buffets?
If you are taking 3 pounds of strawberries out of the hotel breakfast buffet, yeah, like, why?
They might be selling those. Have you seen the cost of fruit right now?
Yeah. That's next.
You've seen those eggs. You've seen those fruit stands outside the parks? That's where they source them. Do you guys agree with Melissa? Is Melissa being a bit ridiculous on this one? Is it important but not as important as Melissa's making it out to be?
Have I spent 8 minutes of the podcast covering this?
It's great. Listen, I'm glad to see you engaged on a second episode on a day.
That's my wildly hot take.
I love it. I love it so much. Speaking of the Facebook group, we asked you guys to share. We were talking about cry movies.
Movies
that make you cry, mm-hmm, that you're like, this is going to be a cry watch for me for sure. We got an email. Let me pull these up here real quick. Go to the Facebook group. I had these and then I shut them down. This is a classic. Philip said, movie cry. There's a scene in the Goofy movie. This is the classic one where Max tells Goofy he has his own life and Goofy replies that he knows and he just wants to be part of it. I know, Max. I just want to be a part of it. Every ounce of guilt for not hanging out with my dad more while he was alive hits me at once. Whew. I get it. Anyways, tell us more about your breakfast buffet rant, Mel.
Yeah, back to the important things in life.
This is classic. My movie cry, Inside Out, particularly the end, gets me every time. I actually just went to find the clip to see if I could articulate why it makes you cry. It immediately started tearing up again. Oof, I don't have time for that on a Monday morning. That's from Carly. That's and a couple people said that one came to mind as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then here's some more. Fox and the Hound. This is from Sarah. Land Before Time. Little Women. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, Beth dies. I never saw Little Women.
I read it in high school.
Yeah.
When people are like really into something, that just makes me want to not like it at all.
Yeah, so.
And this is a me problem.
Mm-hmm.
So like when people are really into Jane Austen.
Yeah.
I'm like, like.
Can she be that good? She's only written literature that's withstood the test of time.
And I read Little Women in high school. But it's just when people fan out, it deters me from enjoying.
I listen.
Something.
I get it.
It's a me problem.
It's called being punk rock, Mel. What you mean is Jane Austen sold out.
Yeah, I mean The Office isn't that good.
Yeah, yeah. Jane Austen is your Green Day, and then once Dookie drops, you're like, I actually like the earlier stuff more. Insomnia. What was there first?
Kerplunk.
Yeah. What was right before Dookie?
Kerplunk.
What's
and,
it
then
there?
And then Insomnia was after.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Kerplunk.
Wow.
It's like Dude Ranch. For Blink. Right? Dude Ranch?
Sure, no, Cheshire Cat.
Oh, I mean, that's even before Dude.
Yeah, that's before Dude Ranch.
Dude didn't like break them, though. This Small Things one did. That put them over the edge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Barker era.
Here we go. Yes. Homeward Bound 2. Ooh. Jessica said, and then Rachel responded, why does even just thinking about Shadow coming over the hill make me teary?
Those are sad movies. Yeah, there was a theme of like animals.
Yeah, well, we got here.
Strong theme.
That's why Guardians is mine. Guardians 3, I'll never watch it again.
Yeah.
I was talking to my opener, Nathan Owens, who's very funny. He was opening for me in Lexington, and he's like, that's the ultimate I watch this movie once movie. First movie cry was Land Before Time. Second, third, and fourth were during Fried Green Tomatoes. This is from Bonnie. Steel Magnolias. Frozen 2. Hardest cry she ran. What do they all have in common? Death. Apparently I can't handle it unless it's the context of action movies. Not a movie watching anything Robin Williams or Steve Irwin will make me cry now. Yeah. Marilee said, certainly not the first one, but Toy Story 3, Andy going off to college. Oh, I don't think we could even watch that right now. I actually have thought about watching Goofy movie, but I'm not up for it. I just don't want to. Jeff Watts said The Lion King. Cindy, Up, of course. Lori, Beaches. And Old Yeller, of course. Also My Girl, classic. Fox and the Hound coming up again here from Carrie. Sarah said, I totally forgot I was about 5 months pregnant when I first, my husband went and saw Les Mis. I say during I Dreamed a Dream. Fried Green Tomatoes comes up again. That's great. And Homeward Bound, All Dogs Go to Heaven from Katie. All good. Common refrain here. Parents, death, animals. Those are the... And growing up.
I'm surprised there wasn't more sports... like ones, because I realized after we talked about it, I'm like, actually, I cry mostly at inspirational sports films.
Yeah.
Rudy.
Yeah.
Even, what's the Mark Wahlberg Eagles one? I'm not even like
Invincible?
I'm not even an Eagles fan. I get to the end of that, I'm like,
Dove Davidoff in it, former backseater. Yeah, that's fair. Maybe it's because they always win at the end, and that's like a happy feeling, and
well, seeing people rise to their potential.
Yeah,
Ted Lasso is Ted Lasso, category. Yeah. I suppose this topic was specifically first.
That one was cries. First movie cries.
So thus the 80s, 90s.
You remember Joel's was?
I do. I wasn't there, but it was robot one.
No. Well, yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh,
Wall-E,
Big Hero.
Big Hero 6 was
so good.
Oh, yeah.
Such an underrated probably the most underrated Pixar movies, Big Hero 6. It's so good.
And then
Peabody and Sherman got it, too.
Yeah, so. Talk about kids' movies where, like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, now I have to have a whole conversation with my kid about stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, they open up themes that are big and deep.
Well, here's a whole segue. Are you ready for this? You know what sports movie will make me cry is The Sandlot. And because it's so perfectly personifies, not Little League, but baseball.
Boyhood.
Yeah. Childhood for a lot of ways.
Yep.
And, you know, and baseball and a time in history and Americana. And I think that that's, you know, we are out of the Little League stage, which is...
Yeah.
But you and I walk through those, like, when we walk through the Little League fields on, like, our little walk that we do, it is still kind of emotional for me.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, anywhere from like 4 to like 12 years old. Like those
elementary school.
Encompass the Little League years.
Sometimes earlier, because you get the little T-ball, like sometimes like pre-K, you know.
Yeah.
There's a magic to the Little League.
Absolutely. Part of it is because it's your community. Like, it's just your neighbors.
100%.
And like rec sports. Like, it's not... You're not coming in from various parts. Like, you literally are neighbors.
Yes. I think there is a simplicity to Little League. First off, Little League is the best run sports, youth sports organization.
Sure.
Baseball has the best youth sports in America. It's so good at it. Because baseball is actually a very difficult sport. So if you think about the amount of kids that play it, it's remarkable. Because it's a very high barrier to entry sport. All the skills of baseball are hard. Throwing, catching, hitting are all very, very hard to do.
And then you need specific facilities and like equipment. Like soccer is so much more accessible.
Basketball is accessible. Just put up a hoop. Now we can go.
Yeah.
And you need less players.
Yeah, and you need umpires. And,
baseball, you need 18 players.
Yeah.
It's a big barrier to entry here. You know, an umpire, balls and strikes.
I mean, cages, like.
Now, to the point, The Sandlot is, like, there are versions of it outside of the league and stuff, and you can play by yourself, but it's so well run that you remember doing it. Didn't you do Little League?
I did softball.
Yeah.
For 2-ish years. Yeah. Yeah, it was terrible, but yeah.
But you did it. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does, not everybody, but so many kids have, when you think, now, the longer it goes, the more people phase out.
Sure.
But there is just a simplicity and a beauty to Little League that is unlike youth soccer, unlike youth basketball, both of which I played, unlike youth volleyball or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. I feel like when you're a little kid, the big three are basketball, soccer, baseball. Am I forgetting one? Those are the ones you see the most kids participating in.
Like, I think it probably depends regionally, because I want to say Pop Warner's pretty big in some states. Like,
yeah, probably in the South. Yeah.
So, you know, football, like,
obviously Southern California.
Football would
but
be
I mean,
there.
Our field in Oceanside every weekend is everything all at once, and it's just like mayhem. And
I'm just thinking, though, if you're thinking about the percentage of kids that play it. Like, I mean, older on, you have more football players.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of reasons, youth football numbers are down.
Sure.
You know.
I'm trying to think, what's the major league for football? Like the, what is it called?
NFL?
No. For little kids. Is it Pop Warner? Or is it?
What are you talking about?
I don't know if Pop Warner's actual name.
Yeah.
If it's just what.
But youth football.
Youth football.
Sorry. I just, when I lived in Texas, it was. There is a name to it.
But in all of those places where football is big, I mean, I'm sure we can look up the stats on one
of
the most.
But
when I think of the, at least in the areas that we grew up, there's probably people who are like, soccer's not one of them. But youth soccer is huge in the areas that we've lived. And soccer has the lowest barrier to entry.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so easy. And there's always a Brooks. We've always talked about Brooks on our kids' first team. One kid who can score 75 goals.
Yeah.
But you're right. There is a what's that?
Actually, according to Google, soccer is the highest at 3 million.
Yep.
Basketball second at 2.6, and then baseball right after.
Boom. This guy gets it. One thing I know, youth sports.
Sports reporter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Youth sports reporter.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Sports editor.
But I agree with you that the community, it's your Little League field.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my Little League field so well.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when they built it. You know, I remember it was just over in Federal Way, over by the Aquatic Center. And like, this was our Little League field. This is where we went to play Little League. And we have a great one here in the community that we live in. It's a nice field.
Yeah.
Everyone's there.
Mm-hmm.
And you see these kids from your schools. They're your neighbors. You know the coach. Sometimes that's a bad thing, though.
Yeah, I mean, you need to behave because you're going to see all these parents in the eye at drop-off the next morning.
There's families that we still judge. There are dads that we still judge based on how they acted in Little League 10 years ago.
Well, you keep it in the... back your mind.
You just go, that guy's a bit of a hothead.
Yeah.
I've seen him when he disagrees with a call with some nice elderly umpire who's out here making $13 an hour.
Yeah.
And you got a bone to pick with him, huh?
Noted.
Because he's got money on the game against your kid?
Not the Little League, but it's the playoff games.
Yeah.
The tempers and the... Everything comes out of those playoff games.
You know how much your kid wants to win, so you want it for your kid. I do think that the motives in most of that stuff is very pure.
Mm-hmm. And I do think there's specific positions that are more stressful for kids and parents.
Pitcher.
100%.
And when your kid's hitting. But pitcher?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know, there's no question.
I mean,
that's the hardest.
I love and hate watching Joel participate in individual sports.
Mm-hmm.
I've told you before, because he's a track, I would kill to have a 100 runner.
Because it's over fast.
It's over in what, 9 seconds?
Yeah.
You ever be nervous, like top level nerves for four and a half minutes?
I know.
Exhausting.
Well,
it's like, oh gosh, at least with cross country, you can't see him the whole time.
Yeah.
With the track, you see him running and you're like, oh gosh, she's falling back.
No relief. Yeah. You watch him get boxed out or tripped.
Or just start to lose it a little bit.
200 meters. It's harder too with track because at least in cross country, they run in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, by noon, this will be done.
Yes.
You know, but. track will be like, okay, your race is at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
on a Saturday. And so you just have that whole day to be nervous for them and with them. And even, you know, if they're running the 4x4, that can be 10 p.m.
Right, right.
You know, you have a race at 10 p.m.
Yep,
or
you're
9:30.
Right.
And I'm sure like swim parents can relate to that. Like just tournament brackets. Like you're just like nerves all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gloria was telling me yesterday, because Gloria switched from canoeing to volleyball. And she said, what I love about volleyball is how different it is each time, each play.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, there's so many different teams in San Diego and you can make your way up and da, 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 da. And she's like, there's just the one club here in San Diego for rowing. And then, and that's the club we do. And what do? You row, and then you row or canoe or whatever it was called.
Yeah. And there's different distances.
Yeah.
And there are relays in the sense that there's team boats, and doubles, quadruple. But it's still rowing.
It's
very much like dribbling in the sense that it's repetitive or running.
Right. And we have a track star and we have a volleyball player and then we have a kung fu and another volleyball player. And I will tell you, though, is just far as pure magic goes, nothing matches Little League.
Yeah.
Little League has a lot going from it. One, it's America's game, as it's called. It's rooted in tradition. Little League has pledges and anthems.
It's like the Boy Scouts.
It's very much like Little League is like if the Boy Scouts were a sport.
Mm-hmm.
You're very much right about that.
Yeah.
Also, you know what it has going for it is time of year. Good time of year.
Spring
and into summer.
Yeah.
So it's got, because when you think of the 4th of July and the Sandlot and baseball, and if you're, you might be doing some tournament if your kid makes All-Stars.
Yeah.
It's got weather on its side. Baseball has weather on its side.
You're right.
I can't
think
of a lot of miserable baseball games we sat through weather-wise.
No, it can get windy, but I mean, our friends in Iowa, they have to play a lot during the summer.
Yeah.
They play their high school league during the summer.
But again, now we're done. But high school's a different thing. Because I had some hot travel ball tournaments in my day. And that's when you hate your baseball uniform.
No, because
there's no thin, lightweight baseball uniform.
Yeah. I know in Washington State, every time they would get on the announcements and say baseball's canceled because it's raining.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So it is.
Literally get some rainouts. Yeah.
On your region.
Opening day.
No,
so
I do think people would counter that with fall football.
Mm.
There are people that just love the crisp air and
marching band. But we're not talking about,
back to high school. You're talking rec.
Baseball loses most of its appeal after Little League.
That's true.
Take this as someone who played baseball. All the
fanfare is gone.
Your parents don't even come to your games in high school very often. Like, it's because there's, and they're just not as fun.
They're long.
It's high level.
It's tedious.
There's more travel. And it's not your first sport anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, but baseball's so often that kid's first sport.
I mean,
and they look so cute in their
Little
uniform.
Little League also has a lot of routines to it, like opening day and closing day.
And if you live in a city that has a baseball team, Little League Day at the park.
Day at the park. Yeah.
You ever seen your kid run around on the bases?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is something else.
Yeah.
What is that? Like rituals. Little League has a lot of rituals to it.
Yeah.
You do the pledge, you know, you get the snack bar.
If travel sports are a cult, Little League is a major religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very popular.
Yeah. I'd say if you're not at church, you're at a Little League game.
Yeah. It's not subculture. Little League is a mainstream belief system, and it's everywhere. It's very popular. It's more affordable.
They got the ceremonies. The parades.
It's great. Everybody celebrates it. Mm-hmm. It gets government funding.
A lot of volunteers.
No one judges you for it.
That's true.
People will judge you for being in a cult or being in travel sports.
You're right.
Nobody judges you for being in a mainstream religion and or Little League.
It's wholesome.
It's very wholesome. Mm-hmm. They celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
That's awesome.
Way to be involved in your community.
It's communal.
It's communal.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's a celebration. There's music. They remember when they used to believe in it.
Yep. You played, your kids played.
It's great. We're passing it down from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. You tell some, try and tell somebody that you spent Easter Sunday at a travel volleyball tournament and then wait for that judgment
you're
to come
gonna
down.
You're going to get some looks.
You're going to get some looks. Really? How the you're, what are you, in a cult?
Yes.
How dare you? But tell your person that you spent Memorial Day at the Little League field. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Just as God would want.
They got the flags.
There's so many flags. So many flags. People will, they're still not judging you at that level. And that is nice. That does feel, they're all there mm-hmm. together.
They're all there, too.
And I also feel like that part of the magic of Little League is one kid can only dominate so much in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball and soccer, one kid, game's over. Whoever has the mm-hmm. best kid wins.
Mm-hmm. I mean, your barrier of entry with Little League is like you signed up.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Yeah.
You know, you've been drafted to a team.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, of course, a pitcher can dominate, but that pitcher can only pitch so often.
That's true.
He can't pitch every time.
There's pitch counts.
There's pitch counts. Mm-hmm. There's restrictions.
Now, if you get a bunch of your friends to coach with you.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
See, then you and all your kids make the team automatically.
So this is, I don't know if you had, Mel speaking to a very specific thing. Because remember, the coach's kid, you don't have to draft.
Yeah. Right.
So mm-hmm. we had four idiot dads of the four of the better kids who are like, well, if we coach, then we just get the four. Awesome, kid. You found a way to cheat the Little League system.
Found a loophole.
That was our old team.
Yeah. I mean, great if you get drafted.
We were a good team.
Yeah. Great if you get drafted by that team. You're like, you know what would be even cooler is if you all coached a different team.
Yeah.
You know?
Instead of creating two super teams.
Or the
instead of all meeting at one place, maybe you should start your own and spread out.
Yeah. You feel
spread this around a bit.
You start to feel like you're real Bernie Sanders in the stands. The rich are too rich. What is that word? The oligarch or
the oligarchy?
I never know, ever know how to say it. Yeah. What's it called?
The oligarchy.
Yeah, the oligarchy.
You start protesting.
The top 1%.
Yeah. You start protesting at the Little League fields. These teams are loaded.
Unbelievable. Spread out the wealth.
You stack the teams.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders in the
bleachers. Yeah, exactly. That's me just sitting watching the unbelievable. Oh, yeah.
None of you guys year even... after year.
And then you all get in your dumb trucks. Your dumb Raptors, you know? Which I'm not judging. I'm just upset that you did this. And I wish, as the father of the fifth best player in the league, I wish you would have invited me.
I would like to be an assistant coach.
My kid's real fast. All right? You could use that kind of speed in the field.
What if
heard of Ricky Henderson?
What if their parents got to be agents for their kid at draft day?
They do, Mel.
They are.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
What if?
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, if you're an assistant coach.
We just have integrity, so we never did it.
Yeah.
You know, we tried to keep it pure.
I did hate the tryout day. That was my least favorite day.
What about the jersey fundraiser day?
Well, I hated that more. So our like pony league or like seventh, eighth grade
league?
It's
where the magic ends.
Yeah, all the magic was gone. No parades, no hype, but you can show up, and for $1,000, you can get the best jerseys,
mm-hmm.
and that is just embarrassing.
Yep.
It's embarrassing to spend $1,000 to get the best jersey. It's also embarrassing to not have $1,000 to give.
Hmm.
You're like, just let me sell candy bars.
Yeah, gosh.
Do a hit-a-thon.
I know. There was a purity to... That's what I'm saying. There's such a purity to Little League. You know what also Little League has going for them? Baseball is the cutest uniform to put a kid in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
I mean, mm-hmm. shorts and a jersey for basketball and soccer and football, they look kind of cute, I guess, in the pads and stuff, but then you're nervous they're going to get hurt. And you can't see their faces in the helmet. But, man, you put a little five-year-old boy in a baseball uniform.
With a belt socks.
What's that little kid doing with a belt on?
It's a sports suit.
Yeah. What's he doing? What's he doing wearing a grown man's outfit?
It's really cute.
It's the cutest thing. Mm-hmm. You roll their pants up. Look at those little high socks.
I know. And they match.
His socks match his hat.
Yeah.
That's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
It's darling.
Really, what was your favorite uniform Joel ever had? Do you have? Because we had the Dons, the red and white. My favorite was the Mud Hens one year.
With the pinstripe?
Was the Mud Hens? No, the Mud Hens was just white. They were the Padres one year.
Probably the Padres.
The Padres one, because they did the brown and yellow, which is a great. Again, what's that little kid doing wearing brown and yellow?
I think the lower levels are all Padres. I think the Padres like sponsors.
Sponsor, yeah.
It depends on your league.
Yeah.
Like our league, we license for all the teams. So we have the teams.
You have National League and American League, different ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
One year, all three of my kids were on the Padres.
That's funny.
Across three different teams.
That's hilarious.
It was just like, yes.
Yeah. I remember mine growing up. My first little league team, we were the, coincidentally, we were the, my second was the Padres. The first was the Braves and the Giants, because I was in a National League.
Okay.
You know.
I was going to send Andy I have the photo of the buttons. Remember
Oh, yeah.
It's nice.
It's nice.
It's good times. I think you just cherish it, even though I just told some horror stories about Little League that I'm still traumatized by. I think you just cherish it because it's like your kid in Halloween costumes. Mm. Like those times don't last. Mm. They're set in time. You know? So like the Little League years, like I'm still traumatized by them. I don't want to go back to them.
Yeah. But you miss them.
I do love most of the memories I have. Mm. Like, I have friends from Little League that I'm still friends with because of Little League.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's fun. I think a couple of the kids still play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, baseball is such a competitive sport. Like, you know, it's just a couple kids.
Yeah.
But you still remember your son. I still remember my son's sixth grade team.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, where are they at? How are they? What are they doing?
Yeah.
Like, one of them's a lacrosse player, very successful.
Yeah.
Joel's a track star. So it's fun. One of them's a lifeguard at the beach, you know, like, and you're like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Everyone is about to graduate. They're finding their way.
Yeah.
But back in the day, it was just this small little neighborhood team.
Yeah.
You know, because we were on the ragtag team.
Sometimes we were on good teams and bad teams.
We did have one good team, but the point being, you just grab all these kids together and like play a game.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah. And you could, now that our kid's a senior, it's almost like you're near doing the end of Sandlot where you do like the, what do they do when they grew up? End of the movie scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like,
you're invested.
Yeah,
you care about these kids.
You're like, Isaiah switched to water polo and is now on the varsity golf team. You know,
yeah.
He's choosing to travel after high school. You know, you could do these fast forwards.
The point being, like, at one point, our lives intersected so much.
Yeah.
And now everyone has their own bright future.
Yeah.
Like, in various ways.
Yeah.
And places, so.
So there's a couple new things that weren't there before, namely the walk-up music. What do you think of the walk-up music in Little League these days?
I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think it's, these kids have a lot of swagger.
Yeah.
And some of the kids are really into it, and it really does hype them up.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll even, like, do, like, you know, like motions to the crowd and stuff, like, which is hilarious. So, I mean, I don't remember hitting. I blacked out every time I had to hit because I was so bad at it.
But you thought maybe if you could have heard a Shania Twain tune.
I would have been no better.
Yeah.
But I think some kids really enjoy that limelight and you can kind of see them performing. And it's really sweet, like their moment. So I love it. I mean, and then also the big old shades they wear now.
The Oakleys.
Oh, yeah.
They're just, you need them.
80s baseball is so back. Oh, 90s yeah. too, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, the haircuts too. Like that's, I mean, like they're all cutting like half-shaved mullets and all of that. I mean, the hair is a whole other thing too. And then like
necklaces.
Accessories, necklaces.
Yeah.
And, all of that. It
the
is
fanfare.
Yeah.
It's come a long way. It was pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty funny. I mean, Gloria does for beach volleyball. She has the big shades.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're gonna play the part, I guess.
Well, so you ready for a boomer moment from me? I hate the walk-up music.
That's not how it used to be. No,
just go back, kid. Just get up there and hit. Get your head in the game. All right?
Be your own hype music.
This isn't some rock show.
Yeah.
Kid, now, they do that in the pros. But, you know, the pros are a different thing. They got to entertain the whole stadium and stuff. They got to keep that stadium engaged. I'm like, get up there and hit, boy. Get your head in the game.
You're the crotchety grandpa.
Yeah.
Your team should be cheering you on, not this electronic music.
No. Don't want to see your Fortnite emotes. Get up there and hit.
Just hit the ball.
Quit having fun. You think baseball's about having fun? Absolutely not. That being said,
there's no dancing in baseball.
There's no dancing. I actually think, and this is kind of changing topics, why I would highly recommend Little League to any parent. There is no sport that is more rooted in failure than baseball. Your kid has to learn how to fail. It's the hardest thing as a parent to watch your kid fail. And it's a very important life lesson. But your kid is going to fail in baseball.
Yeah, it's impossible to hit the ball every time.
Even if you are, this is an old adage, right? If you fail 7 out of 10 times as a baseball player your entire life, you are a Hall of Fame baseball player. 3 hits every 10 at bats, you bat 300. And you are a Hall of Fame baseball player 7 out of 10 times to be the best. So even when you see these stats of like high school players who when they were like, they batted 500 in high school, they still got out half the time.
Yeah.
Half the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy failure rate.
Yeah.
And you're only going to bat like 5 times a game at max. And that you, if you go 2 for 5, 3 for 5, enormous game. It's just very valuable to teach your kid, even if they don't stay in the sport forever. Baseball just, and you're going to make errors in the field and they're going to be very public. And it just, I think it teaches you an amount of grit. And that's like a good, I mean, our son is dealing with like rejections and failure, and he's not failing in any way. I don't mean it like that, but like.
Well, college applications.
Yeah.
Admissions is full of rejection.
It's a very safe introduction into failure.
No,
and,
I'm with you.
And your kid, like, even if your kid is the worst on the team, which is like a fear that you have, they're going to be surrounded by people that are also failing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. It's just a bunch of kids failing.
Sure.
It's like one of the, you're all getting in there together, failing together, and maybe getting better. And I'll tell you, that moment when your kid gets that first hit of the season, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's so hype. So it's a big payoff. And I don't know. I think there's real value. I think that's true of most youth sports in general, that there's huge, enormous things that can be gained from it. But baseball in particular just teaches you failure like nothing else.
Yeah. I mean, our girls with volleyball, like they're 1 of 5 other people on the court.
Yeah.
And you can only hit it so many times.
Yeah.
You are reliant on your team.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, for one of our daughters, she's never played a team sport.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah. And
you know,
team sports like that are a different thing of collaboration.
Yeah.
Closer to basketball and hockey, where you're just like, I need you to do this, please, or a whole team let down.
I suppose fielding.
Fielding is the closest example.
Right.
But ultimately, there's always a one-on-one moment that your kid has, which is you versus that pitcher. And that ball, it's a lot. It's a lot, but it's good. There's a lot of tears, and there is a lot of crying in Little League. There's no crying in baseball. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of crying in Little League.
Yeah.
So, all right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
All right. Bye.
Hey, everybody. Want to give a special thanks to our Essential as Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thank you so much for contributing to the podcast. First off is Adam Bush.
Avril Griffiths.
Allison Nelson.
Andy and Darlene Gerton.
Avery Starr.
Bonnie Galindo.
Brandon Schoenberger.
Carrie Teague.
Christopher and Bridget Finland.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Eibling.
Dam Aris Diaz Stevens.
Daniel Owens.
Dave and Melissa Koch.
Dave Hoagland.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jen Thirk.
Jessica Hanrahan.
Jonathan Ribera.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slazdom.
Michelle Caslon.
Nicole Carraz.
Nick Cordell.
Norman Perrin. Sorry, Norman.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Rachel Kennedy.
Raina Camps.
Robert and Nellie Capen.
Scott Elliott.
Stephen Menya. And Tiffany Payne. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.